Subcommittee of Transportation and Economic Development of the Ways and Means. This afternoon, Susan Jordan is joining us from Legislative Fiscal Office, and Suki Huerta is our Subcommittee Assistant and Clerk this afternoon. And this is a opening of the public hearing on House Bill 3882. And we'd like to go ahead and hear from Suki Jordan on that. Suki?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3882 has two primary purposes. The first one has to do with the Department of Justice's advice that state highway funds are restricted, and certain functions can't be, the highway fund cannot pay for those. In order to continue to provide those services, the department is proposing to create a transportation operating fund, and primarily for the purpose of depositing those monies from the business regulation fees and the monies from the second purpose of the bill, which is to provide that fuel taxes that are collected on the sales of fuel for non-road uses be allowed to be refunded to taxpayers, and those taxpayers that don't request refunds on those fuel taxes, that it be determined how much that is, and that money be deposited into this account to pay for some of those services that the agency isn't able to, or it's not practical to charge a fee for. And that would include things like the donor card, when you request to be an anatomical donor, you get a little card. Those things don't cost very much for the department to produce and to distribute, but they can't be paid for out of the highway fund. There are some other examples of that, and the department can share that kind of information with you. There's a few issues that this subcommittee needs to explore with the Department of Transportation, and those are identified on a memo that I distributed to you. How and who establishes the methodology or criteria to determine the amount of gasoline that's consumed by non-road use small machines, how that's estimated, and who estimates that. Why the Department of Transportation proposes that ODOT have that responsibility versus having it done by a third party, such as the Oregon Department of Administrative Services, as is done by the Marine Fuel Tax, the snowmobilers, the ATV, aviation. And the fiscal impact of what it costs to do that estimate compared to the amount that's being deposited, is it worth that expense? So those are some things for you to consider as you're reviewing this bill. This is here just for public hearing today. LFO is still evaluating the fiscal impact, and when we've worked that out, we'll be bringing it back for a work session.
Thank you very much, Susie. We do wish to recognize and welcome from the South Coast, Representative Joanne Berger. Welcome, Representative Berger. It's lovely to have you here, as always. And let's see, representing the Oregon Department of Transportation, Mike Marsh, would you like to come forward, please, Mike?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mike Marsh from the Department of Transportation, and members should have a copy of testimony. I'm not used to having actual testimony in this committee, but I'll just give you a quick overview of where we are on House Bill 3882. It is establishing a transportation operating fund. The fund is necessary to account for the funds that need to be kept separate from the state highway fund, as Susie was discussing. So we need to have this in order to comply with the AG direction to us about a few areas within the Department of Transportation program that are not covered by other revenue sources. The Department of Justice has indicated that we need to do this kind of separate accounting because there are several functions that don't directly facilitate travel on Oregon's roads and highways. And this Transportation Operating Fund, or that some members may have heard referred to as the Lawnmower Fund, because one of the major sources is from lawnmower fuel, is to establish this separate track for small machines, lawnmowers, leaf blowers, chainsaws, and related small implements. That would say that for these fuel taxes, they're collected for this purpose, and they aren't a road-related function, but rather are something that is done in order to further a non-constitutional requirement or restriction. House Bill 3882 provides that the taxes may be refunded to taxpayers. We understand that that would be refunded, but even after the refunding is done for the large landscape groups and others that are large enough to view it as worth their time to submit the refund information, most of us who just mow the lawn every once in a while or blow some leaves now and then don't seek that refund, and those monies do come in to the highway fund. And this bill would allow us to recognize it as non-highway fund-related, to move it off. The analogy that Susie was using to the marine fuels is appropriate. Money comes in a similar way for marine fuel. The public will fill up a can or get the boat filled up, and so the gas is used, and an estimate is made through a survey process done. Used to be at ODOT, now in concert with DAS and the Marine Board, all three working together to establish what is the appropriate estimate that goes into the budget request and becomes the amount moving forward. I can speak right now to Susie's comment about DAS. We're happy to work closely with DAS if you'd like to have it in the bill, or if you'd rather have it be just legislative intent on the record, whichever is fine with us. Not a problem there. The challenge is it is a very small amount of money, and it isn't worth the type of huge investment in forecasting that goes through the Marine Board process of surveys and a lot of detail to do it on a regular basis. Our view would be that it's something that we do at first, and then maybe every 10 years, at most every 5 years, to update the information from that survey. We do have some national data that's used, but we're concerned about how that applies to Oregon. So we can get into that under more detail under questioning, but the bottom line is that the fund will allow for these critical activities to move forward, whether we're talking about the donor card or parade permits in a city that wants to use a state highway for a parade. Those have been determined to not be appropriate for highway fund use. We need to find an option. This is that option. We think that the net revenues that are coming into the fund for 0103 would be in the neighborhood of $200,000, as much as $225,000. That would come in after the an adjustment for doing some survey work in this first biennium. So it's not a huge amount of money, but we'd want to make sure that we constitutionally have dealt with identifying what the appropriate costs are, and then move ahead to consider this as a separate fund. So we continue providing the critical services that are no longer appropriate within the highway fund, and do what's appropriate under the DOJ opinion. Mr. Chair, we're open to comments.
Thank you very much. Mike, how did you calculate the $225,000?
Mr. Chair, our economists went through a process to identify the number of households in the state, made an estimate on the basis of the number of people who are using gasoline-powered equipment, and made a broad estimate at the front end of saying the low end would be about $200,000. The high end, depending on how many people actually used it, could be as high as $900,000, almost $1 million. Felt very uncomfortable with using national data that comes from the Federal Highway Administration and the that's called Oak Ridge National Laboratories that do some work on this on a national basis. But he's estimated that on a conservative basis that the $200,000 would be appropriate after accounting for our costs of doing survey work. And so that's the start point for discussion. We think one time, my own personal opinion is one time of doing the survey, and then we can discuss how often we need to update it. But I wouldn't do it very often for the amount of money involved.
Representative Johnson is recognized.
Mike, isn't there a better way to do this? My concern is I was involved briefly with the aviation fuel debate where there's the rebate with Avgas, and I recall at one time the audit, and I'm going to be a little vague on these numbers. I'm actually looking at Victor, who maybe remembers. The audit itself was somewhere in the area of $9,000 or $10,000 to do the audit. And I just have certified smart people thought of a better way to keep track of $250,000. This is pretty administratively intensive.
Mr. Chair and Representative Johnson, we're open to approaches here. The concern is it is a constitutional requirement, so we want to make sure that we've justified and shown that these funds are not the highway fund. And I think it's a debatable issue about how much goes into validating the forecast. We have, like I say, national information. My thought would be we do a survey one time. We get that information that says, yeah, it seems to be used at about this amount, and that does it.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair?
Follow-up, Representative Johnson.
How do you possibly ensure the integrity of somebody coming in, I mean, with their lawnmower slip that says I bought a gallon and a half at the Texaco? the administrative burden on sorting that out, or am I making up something that's absolutely outlandish?
People don't come in and do the refunds now for small amounts of money. But the large firms, the landscaping firms, that it's a major part of doing business, they take time to fill it out. So you're right. Nobody comes in and maintains that little piece, and it's not a workload for us, and it's not an issue for the public coming in. The issue is when you have a large landscaping firm.
Representative Petridge?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just trying to figure out the framework, the legal framework for why we're doing this. So can we step back a second to the legal framework? And maybe rather than setting up this complicated procedural piece that I don't know how we provide any accountability, I mean, could we not flip it over and say we're going to charge the same tax we charge on gas that's for these other devices?
To turn it around and charge each one of the devices a separate amount, the problem is, Mr. Chair and Representative Petridge, the people who are doing that are doing that as a part of filling up their car at the station. If there was a separate place that they were going to do that, I don't think that'd be a problem, but it's coming off the gas tank at the gas station. And when that occurs, the folks are not carrying, they go through a different administrative process and say, okay, I'm going to pay a different fee here for this piece and do something different. We want to keep it easier on the customer. This allows, it's really a relatively simple process. All it is saying that we assume a piece of the highway fund is not actually the highway fund because there's these sales that are occurring with lawnmowers and others. And we'll make a quick guesstimate about how much it is. As long as it's in the neighborhood of covering our costs, we're okay. I would view that we do that one time and then consider it history and not put any more into making the estimate, because it's not worth, as some members have indicated, spending much time on it.
Representative Dringle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just curious if this doesn't pass, try to use English here, if this doesn't pass, what's going to happen to this money? Is it just going to sit in ODOT?
No, Mr. Chair, if it's not passed, then we haven't officially set up the account. And according to the direction from the AG, we can't spend money in the highway division out of the highway fund to assist with parade permits, nor to have DMV do the administrative work to establish the donor
the other piece. So that money would just be directed for
the money highway. Would stay in the highway funds.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
But the problem is we wouldn't be able to, at least right. under the opinion, do these small functions.
Understand.
And I understand from the committee it can seem ridiculous when you're talking about this small, very small increment of work. But when you receive direction from the Attorney General, it says you can't do that small increment of work. And if it's just as simple as me taking 5 seconds to write something down, that it does add up. They're saying that that's a productivity impact, and therefore we cannot do it. And I think, as the members know, we've pushed it back significantly on the AG opinion process. And at a certain point, as a former Marine, you salute and move on. And that's what we're doing now.
Representative Smith is recognized.
You're never a former Marine.
That's right.
Thank you for a minute.
I'm going to ask a question I know I'm going to get ridiculed by my colleagues for, and perhaps it is a dumb question.
Everybody ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Get ready. What steps has ODOT taken to inform taxpayers that they do have a refund that is owed to them?
Mr. Chair and Representative Smith, there hasn't been much in the past, and I could look behind me to make sure of that. I'll just look back and make sure I see any nods of anything. No. There hasn't been an effort to advise of it. This law would say that we need to make an advisory about the process. We don't see a lot of change, though, occurring, because you and I that use $1 or $2 or $3 in a year aren't going to take the time to go through the stamp and everything else to seek the refund.
Now, agriculturists, they actually have a method of doing that that's regular and on their tax return.
Yes.
The state tax return.
Mr. Chair, they have forms on their website for refunds. So if people are out there looking at their website, they'd run into it eventually.
I just want it to be known for the record. I'm looking out for the taxpayers. you
could easily go ahead and give them a website and log into that. And and they'll get all of these 50-cent claims that are going to cost $3 to process.
I've got my next press release.
And you should write a million-dollar book on it, too. Wade Cook or something like that. Representative Johnson?
I was just about to make a pitch for the dear old taxpayers by saying, let's just keep this as much status quo as we can, because if Victor's doing the economics on my $1.59 from the Texaco, the dear old taxpayers are going to end up really getting clobbered.
That's exactly true.
Senator Nunes, do you have a question?
No, I'm willing to support this.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. I thought I saw a question on the table. I would just like to, the $225,000 again, Mike, is net of all of the refunds that are presently being
Mr. Chair, yes, but we want to make sure it's clear. Our economist would want me to emphasize that this on the basis of a generalization of knowledge that he has right now without any ability to survey.
Okay, and then out of the fund, you've got a number of items that would have to be the 55 alive, the accident prevention rules, the anatomical donor, the hazmat shippers, the tree removal permit, the information to gas stations, and then permits for parades. Do you have some feel, Mike, you must do as to what the biennial cost to maintain those issues within the department?
You mean the amount of money that we'd expect coming in each one of those?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I think Susie has a chart there, which I'll just summarize here. The accident prevention rules, less than $10,000 was our estimate. Anatomical donors, $17,000. Hazmat shippers, less than $5,000. Tree removal permits, approximately $200. Information to gas stations, less than $5,000. And permits for parades, about $15,000. That's an idea of the cost estimates for each one of those. And I can make a copy for the committee if you'd like.
That's approximately $50,000 in the vicinity. How much interest in a biennium anticipate you might be able to generate off of, let's say, $200,000+.
Mr. Chair, we could certainly anticipate receiving $10,000 or so in revenue, maybe more like $8,000. So that there's a certain amount that would be able to come forward through that, and plus there may be more there than what we're estimating now once we get a survey in. But I think it certainly could cover some, but considering the size, I don't think we could anticipate $50,000 as the revenue off of the amount we're seeing right now, unless a survey shows that we're off pretty significantly in the total.
Is the $225,000, again, an estimate, is that $225,000, that's a biennial income amount into the fund?
That is, looking back here at the figure.
Like the Oak Ridge National Laboratory lawnmower there.
Right. That was an estimate for a biennial estimate for this first biennium. After we do the survey piece, we're actually estimating more in the following biennium. But it would be in the neighborhood of that $200,000.
So actually, if your expenditures are around $50,000, it wouldn't be inconceivable, and I assume that's a biennial amount, $50,000.
Yes.
Isn't it inconceivable to believe that after a couple of years there'd be enough money in this fund that the interest alone would generate all of the would take care of all of these other needs?
Mr. Chair, if one didn't draw on that fund for a few biennia, I think that's probably true. If we could have a 2 or 3 biennia to allow it to grow large enough so that 4% off of that.
Do you
give
you that kind of latitude? Probably not.
Mr. Chair, no.
Okay. All right. So it might take several biennia to get it up high enough. And as you say, 225 is just the starting point. If you're to take two or receive in 225 and then disperse out 50 during a biennium, and that still leaves 175. And that 175 compounded pretty soon starts to add up to some real money. Are there further questions? Relative to, I guess the questions as we come back to see the items 1, 2, and 3, how and who establishes number one the methodology and criteria for the, and you said the who would be someone, I guess that's in question number two, whether it's between ODOT or DAS, but the methodology is, you say that Oak Ridge National Laboratory has has some methodology and criteria?
They have
states our size and households?
No, Mr. Chair, they have national data.
Okay.
And we're trying to validate whether that national data really applies appropriately to Oregon.
Probably not a lot of change though, we've been running apartment buildings and those kinds of things.
You'd be surprised.
I'm not gonna touch that one.
And then the who is in question number two. You'd indicated that you didn't have any objection if the fund was to be determined and administered by the Department of Administrative Services.
Mr. Chair, I probably want to clarify. I think the fund, just like with the Marine Board, it's estimated by a team of the three agencies, and then an actual transfer is made to a separate agency, the Marine Board, within the budget. Since there isn't another agency to actually transfer this to, I think we'd probably retain it as an account within ODOT, but again, it's not like we'd die on the sword on this. I just think it probably would make sense to stay there rather than going to DAS, but they could be the, as the statute says for the Marine Board, the primary convener of that estimate process, and that we'd be fine with that for this estimate.
Okay, and this would be called the Transportation Operating Fund.
Correct, Mr. Chair, or if you'd prefer the Lawnmower Fund, but
yeah, that's okay. And finally, once the fiscal impact was determined, it would be deposited into a separate fund within, or accounted for within a separate fund within the Department of Transportation, and then that would be reported in your, I guess, in your quarterly or your annual or
correct, Mr. Chair, a separate account and separate reporting.
And in your opinion, I guess the Attorney General gives us the opinion that we must do it. Now we've just got to figure out whether or not we go through what kind of expense. Have any feel for the expense of setting this up and getting the first estimates from the Oak Ridge folks from within your department, Mike? You must have some, or you wouldn't be able to come up with the $225,000.
Yes, Mr. Chair, there is a fiscal impact statement, I believe, that has been done for the bill, and I didn't bring that up with me. I can pull it over here.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Marsh, we're revising the fiscal impact because the fiscal impact that we had sent to the House Transportation Committee did not incorporate or show the cost for doing the survey or the estimates, and so that's one of the reasons why we're only having a public hearing today.
Okay.
And so we didn't distribute that for the committee.
So the implementation cost is yet to be determined then. Representative Johnson?
Mr. Chair, my only question here is, in doing the survey, you're going to survey folks that use lawnmowers, basically.
Yeah.
I know that when we surveyed the pilots, that was only a universe of, 10,000. It was not an insignificant cost to do that. Over the years, the numbers have kind of gone out of my mind. But I'm going to support this. I just am concerned about the burden on you guys to do this. I don't see that there's any way around it, though. The AG has said this doesn't work the way you've been doing it. This seems to me to be the only way to avoid it, but I think there are going to be some costs that nobody really anticipated, and that's worrisome.
Give us an example, Representative.
Well, when we did this aviation piece of it, the auditing was very expensive. What we were trying to determine were people that used automotive gas in older airplanes,
right,
because they would qualify for the refund. And I wish I remembered the numbers better, but at one point the survey was very expensive. The internal auditing ran close to $10,000 to see if the allocation formula was correct. So it was not without some cost.
So once determined, was it frequently then changed?
It was visited about every 10 years. And the reason that it sticks in my mind was that the revisitation happened to occur during my watch. And the cost for doing the internal audit had trebled. And I just remember being surprised by how expensive it was to do the internal auditing process. And I don't remember whether DAS did the internal audit or ODOT did the internal audit on behalf of Arrow. I just don't remember.
I guess it was a Secretary of State or internal audit from ODOT, but I don't know for sure.
But still, this seems to me to be a reasonable solution, but we ought to just be mindful, all of us, that there could be some cost creep in here that we don't anticipate. I don't see another way out of this, unfortunately. I'd certainly like to leave open the possibility that if ODOT, as they're beginning to implement doing this, finds that this is cumbersome or burdensome in some way beyond anybody's anticipation, that there would be a vehicle open to you to come back to the legislature and say, we need to convene some smarter, faster, better way of doing this.
Mr. Chair, if our view that it's easier to do it on this side of the push-pull continuum, in other words, to have us deal with it easier for the customer, but a little harder on us, if we're wrong and it ends up that it's going to be significantly harder because there are so many people seeking refunds that it's much more than we thought, and we ought to reverse it, like Representative Patrick was getting at, we could come back next time and seek that change, but we'd rather not have the impact on the public until we've attempted to make the effort. And I think in the process we're going to use, we're not expecting a significant increase in the amount of refunds.
Unless Representative Smith sends out a press release to all
they're
of
you. They're coming from District 59.
I just would like it on the record that there's an avenue for you to come back to the legislature and seek some kind of relief if this proves to be unbelievably burdensome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Smith is ready.
Just a quick clarification for a press release that will soon be going out. Are four-wheelers that are off-road vehicles, or those are
four-wheelers have their own. There's an ATV account already, which I probably should have mentioned, is similar to the Marine Board, and estimates are already made regarding that. And so people can seek the refund, and it comes in, an estimate is made, and then that's used into a certain account already. And actually, snowmobiles are the same thing.
Yes, for a
golf cart also there.
Golf carts being electric for the most part are not under this. I'm not aware if there are some, I guess it would apply. Are there gas fuel?
Yes.
Golf? We do get a few, I guess, from golf courses.
Okay. Is there any other public testimony from on the House Bill 382.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Do we have any of that? Okay. If there was no other public testimony, then we will go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 3882 and open the public hearing and possible work session on Senate Bill 483.
Members of the committee, Senate Bill 483 allows the use fuel tax, allows refunds on use fuel taxes for all state agencies, counties, and special districts. Right now, there are some federal agencies, the state foresters, cities, public school districts, some parts of the counties and rural fire protection districts that are exempt from paying use fuel taxes. What this bill does is it levels the playing field and allows state agencies to also be exempt from, and special districts to be exempt from the fuel tax refund. There's the fiscal impact shows that there is a revenue impact. There is a cost avoidance by state agencies. For the Department of Transportation, the cost avoidance is about $768,000. The amount of revenue impact is a loss of $1.3 million to the highway trust fund. It costs, in terms of cost for the state, it's about $71,000 loss in revenue, but there is a larger loss of revenue to counties and cities because the state wouldn't be paying its taxes on the fuel tax, so that's a reduction in revenue distribution to the cities and counties.
Okay, Mr. Marsh indicated party here to offer testimony. Representative Patrick, just a question.
So can I So what's the net gain? So we have a net loss of 1.3, so...
Mr. Chair, I'm representing, yes, we still, the agency calculated about 1.4 million in revenue taxes that wouldn't be paid by special districts to the state in general. It's mostly the state and the state agencies in the state and the special districts that caused this 1.34 million not to be paid to the highway fund.
Okay, and then one other follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Follow-up, Representative.
And I'm trying to look at, I'm also looking at the Department of Transportation, or I mean,
fiscal impact,
not the memo.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 30,500 to process refunds in the 0103, and then the next biennium, it drops down pretty significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, can you explain why?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, it costs a little bit more for them to set up the refunding program, and then it drops off after the first biennium after setting up the process for.
So these would be to set up the additional portion of the 30,500 would be to set up those local districts and special districts and local municipal accounts.
Right.
And, okay.
Yes,
Representative.
And this question, the use fuel tax, is that only diesel?
Mr. Chair, Representative Ringel, yes.
Well, it is a little broader than that, but I can get into that in just a moment if you like.
Okay, Mike?
Mr. Chair, Mike Mars from the Department of Transportation. We also have our special districts partner on this situation, so I'll just start off with a quick overview. You should have testimony there again, summarizing the situation on Senate Bill 483. It's talking about a refund for use fuel tax for special districts, as well as expanding it to state agencies and counties generally rather than just county road departments. Use fuel is defined as diesel, natural gas, and propane, which is the question that just came up. Use fuel tax is paid when the fuel is put in the tank of the motor vehicle, in contrast to gasoline tax, which is paid when it's imported into the state. So it's a little different situation and makes for a little different tracking of how the tax is actually paid. The legislature has granted exemptions in the past from use fuel tax to cities and county vehicles that are road construction and maintenance related, public transit vehicles, school district vehicles that are involved in pupil transportation. The bill adds vehicles in the special districts and, as I mentioned, also expands to state agencies and to counties in the non-road area. There are about 800 special districts. This would add about the remaining 560 districts. We anticipate that the amounts of fuel will be relatively small. The bill also extends the refund to, as I mentioned, state government, in particular the Department of Transportation, which paid itself taxes to the tune of about $500,000 this last year, so it allows for a more efficient process, not paying and then receiving the money back. Also, the cities receive this the exemption, and this would apply it to the county road departments, or beyond the county road department to the general county vehicles. And the big reason for doing all this is basically to be consistent, to have a policy that applies to all public entities and treats all the government entities equally. So that's what we're trying to seek here, Mr. Chair.
Okay, questions for Mr. Marsh? Representative Patridge?
Why should we exempt anyone? I mean, I know the federal government. I mean, why should we exempt anyone? I guess I have a problem with the policy of exempting out everyone since they're using the roads, since they're doing everything. I mean, had I had it to do over again, I probably wouldn't exempt out. I mean, I could understand maybe cities and counties who are in the state through ODOT who's putting money onto the roads. But beyond that, I don't know why we would exempt anyone else.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patrick, I can't disagree with you. If the policy was no exemptions, then I'd say stick with it. But if there are exemptions that are being applied to certain entities because they have a road function, or other entities because they go on the roads and are a public function like a school bus or whatever, it seems like the policy ought to be consistent. If it's going to be, it is a public entity, it deals with doing the public good, and if it's being exempted now, we ought to expand it to all of them, or I'd be perfectly fine with going back the other way and saying everybody pays. But in particular for the road departments and ODOT, it's a process of paying in and then receiving it back.
Follow-up for Virginia Patrick?
Well, I guess, to me, that would be okay, I guess, if we were talking about a competitive market situation or something like that. But I guess it doesn't shock me as being placing some public agency versus another public agency at some unfair advantage or disadvantage as a result of exempting them out. So to me, we're going from bad to worse instead of dropping back. So that's just my impression of the bill. We don't have enough money in the highway fund as it is. We push for gas taxes and other things. Now we're going to draw more money down, and to me it doesn't make sense to begin with the policy. So that's where I'm at.
Representative Ringel?
Just a comment. I express my support for Representative Passage. Whenever somebody says we're leveling the playing field, I go, uh-oh, they're not here because they're concerned about some intrinsic unfairness. They're here because they've got an angle. And I don't see how this works to the public good, and I don't see that there's an essential unfairness. I mean, treat it differently, so.
Mr. Chair, maybe I should let the special districts folks speak. Give them a chance if the chair was open to that.
Okay, please.
Sure. Thank you, members of the committee. For the record, Hasina Squires on behalf of the Special Districts Association of Oregon. This sort of issue has sort of taken a life of its own in the past. Last legislative session, legislation was passed that exempted rural fire protection districts from paying the diesel fuel tax, also school districts from paying the diesel fuel tax. And I guess I don't disagree with the leveling the playing field or an angle argument. Either everybody should be in or everybody should be out. The only argument that I give you for the exemption is that it is ultimately the taxpayers that are paying for those services at the local level. And so a state agency, a special district, whether it be rural fire protection, water, sewer, paying diesel fuel tax is ultimately the taxpayer paying a tax to the government. And that is really the crux of the issue in addition to the equity. I'd also like to add that the League of Oregon Cities and the Association of Oregon Counties, who stand to lose some of this revenue, are both supportive of this legislation.
Senator Yee.
Mr. Chair, so I want to know, do you pass on the savings to the property taxpayers? Do you reduce their property taxes because you have reduction in expenses?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, well, actually, this diesel fuel tax really doesn't affect the property tax system because all of those local governments are given a permanent rate authority, and typically they levy at that full permanent rate authority. The only benefit that I could see, and for the Special Districts Association, the remainder of the districts that would be exempted from this, in a biennium period, it's $435,000. So we're really talking about a very small impact to special districts. Hypothetically, if a district was not paying $20,000 in diesel fuel tax to the state, that money would then be available to provide other types of services or an increased level of service. But we're really talking about such a small amount of money that I don't see a huge benefit to the public.
Follow-up. I think that if districts pay less taxes, they should pass on the benefit to taxpayers. I think the reason we allow tax exemption is so that they don't pay taxes and local taxpayers don't have to pay that tax. So no matter how small an amount it is, I think the savings ought to be passed on to the property taxpayers. That should be the way to go.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I didn't mean to imply that no savings or benefit would be passed on to those local government customers, so to speak, just that this is not really connected with the property tax system. So by virtue of not paying the diesel fuel tax, that revenue is not passed on through a property tax exemption. This is a fee exemption, and so or a use fee type of exemption. And so that exemption, by not paying the tax, those monies would then be freed up to pay for other services that the government could provide.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm saying instead of using the savings free up to use for other programs, it should directly benefit the taxpayers by lowering the property tax rate, no matter how small it is.
Senator, you use another item here, too, and that is that to the extent that the local taxpayers are benefited, the city, county, and state roads are reduced by that amount of benefit as well, which ultimately comes back and costs us in one way or another in roads that are not maintained at 76% a good or better state. I do have a question relative to the $1,055,000 effect on revenue, reduction of revenues. That's to be shared by about 560 districts. How often do you make applications? Is it monthly, quarterly, annually?
Mr. Chair, I believe it's done on an annual basis. I'll turn behind. Are we doing it pretty much annually? So, Mr. Chair, the point is there, once it was done, it would be something that exempted them into the future.
Every time that they bought
Fuel
for over the road from that point forward.
But the estimates here are done on an annual basis.
Okay. Annual or I guess these are biannual.
If you're looking at the fiscal impact, that's biannual.
Biannual. Yeah, that's $900 per district in the first 2 years is what it is, and I don't know. That's the $1,055,000 of reduction in revenues, which I assume would be basically picked up and enjoyed by all of the districts somehow.
Mr.
Is it to be netted against the?
Mr. Chair, were you reading off of the amount
for state agencies? Revenues, the reduction in revenues.
And you're looking at this amount from state agencies as well as the special districts, the 425.
I'm not looking at that effect on expenditures. It would reduce the expenditures for some agencies. Is that what that is? And then the special districts is
right. Forth. Correct.
Okay. Representative Smith is recognized.
I'll tell you what, I've heard the comments of this entire committee, and I couldn't agree more with them. The one thing I would contend, though, is if I have a chance to allow tax dollars to remain with my health district or with my irrigation district or with my recreation district or with my ports, I'd rather see that money there than coming to the state. So when this does come for a vote, if it comes for a vote, I'll be a yes.
Let me ask relative to that, Representative Smith and Mike, as well as get you here, an irrigation district for the equipment that they're using already. I see irrigation equipment. Irrigation districts are going to be running diesel track hose and those kinds of things. Those aren't paying any tax at this time, are they?
I believe they would be because they're not one of the exempted areas right now.
So a track hose is not exempted from state diesel tax?
Correct. I'll look behind me.
A diesel track hose pays full state road tax?
If it's a vehicle that operates on the roadway, can operate on the roadway. Yes,
track hose don't operate on the roadway.
Well, if you're talking about a tracked vehicle or a standard backhoe that does...
Backhoe, you mean?
A track hoe. One with cleated tracks on it. A 50, 60, 70-ton jobby.
Yeah, no, I'm sure you're right. So I was thinking of a backhoe. This is Quentin Hess.
Chair Butler, he's a city boy. You gotta help him out here. If
you're talking about an M60 tank, I can help you.
Chairman Butler, members of the committee, my name is Quentin Hess. I'm the fuel tax manager for ODOT. The question about the Traco or Backo, the real question for us is it used on the road or not? If it's not used on the road, then the tax is not paid.
So basically, when we look at an irrigation district, Certainly the pickups, which are using gasoline anyway, and that's not going to be affected here at all under this, but the pickups, but you might have some diesel trucks that haul the offal or the, you know, the backfill and so forth.
I just use that as an example.
Yeah, but I'm trying to, I recognize that we already have an exemption for school buses and for fire protection equipment and those kinds of things. So I just was searching, you know, where it would be a major, major savings for someone.
I can give you an example of where it would be. Let me tell you about the Port of Morro.
The Port of Morro.
Port of Morro that has probably in excess of 35 vehicles.
Diesel vehicles.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Well, that's all of the vehicles other than mine and a couple others were diesel because that's how we purchased our fuel. You know, the benefit to them is tremendous. And if I have a chance to send that money to a fourth district to assist them in their operation, especially knowing how tight their budgets are, or send it to the state, I'd rather have it at the local level with local control.
Representative Patrick, you recommend.
Local benefit.
Thank you.
I don't disagree that local control and local benefit are great things, but we have a state road system that all these vehicles drive on that is declining in revenues that we can't pay for now. We don't put any state general fund. I mean, we'll save. Sure, the state's going to save money, but we don't put state general fund down on the roads. We just pass that budget, you know. And, you know, I don't want cities and counties, they're all coming to the state to ask us to raise the gas tax and do all these other things so they have more money for their roads. They don't put a lot of money except for state money on the roads. So I think that they do damage, and just like everyone else. So, I don't disagree with a local control argument if it was a pure local control argument, but it's not. It's about a state highway system and a state infrastructure system that we need to run commerce, and that we need to, Port of Morro or any other port or other district needs those vehicles to travel the state highways to make sure things work and travel city and state streets. And I want to make sure money goes on those, on our infrastructure in our state. So.
Thank you, Representative Patrick. Representative Smith is recognized.
I just want to clarify, rather than local control, I'd rather say local benefit.
Thank you. Did you have a comment? Senator Ferrioli may have an opportunity to come over. I think he's supposed to be here at 2:00. Did you have further testimony, Ms. Squires, or Mr. Hess?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, just to point out that this bill has been through a number of committees already. It was passed unanimously by those members present at the Senate General Government and Transportation Committee and also the Senate Revenue Committee.
Thank you very much, Ms. Clark. Was there anyone that signed up that that testified that has not had an opportunity to do so?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, are we awaiting Senator Ferrioli on this bill?
We, as a courtesy to Senator Ferrioli, we would probably need to go ahead and hear from him. And he's, as I say, let's see, he's supposed to be here at 2:00 Senate time.
We would like an explanation.
Mr. Chair?
Okay, we'll stand at ease for a couple of minutes until good Senator Ryan.